So we're going to let him preach next. And he's preached in some nursing homes and with young men. We want to do our best to counsel them right and take our time with them. They're young. You pray for them. Ask God to help them. Brother Levi, where are you, son? You ready? Okay. This is that world-famous evangelist. Brother Tim been talking about. God bless your heart. Boy, it's an honor to have you.
It's an honor to be here.
Amen.
Oh, it's a privilege to be up here to preach. I look up to Pastor Stewart. I'm sure we all do here. But Pastor Stewart's not just a pastor to most of us. He's the man that God sent in our lives in a special place. When I first got here, I was upset. I wasn't saved, and Dad had been called to come lead the choir and the singing here, and I was mad. I didn't want to leave. North Carolina was my home. But I'm glad I come here, because if I wouldn't, most likely I'd have never got saved. And like Aaron said, when he got saved and got called to the mission field, he's seen the greatest things he's ever seen in his life. And that goes to show, when you're in God's will, there's no better place to be.
Amen. That's right.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. Boy, God's sure good. I'm overwhelmed by the fact that I don't deserve to be standing here. It's a privilege for me to be in this pulpit preaching to y'all. I'm probably the least person worthy of being back here. And I'm just glad that God seen fit one day to reach down and save my soul and called me to preach. Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 18 says, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dallas, can you pray for us? Amen. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on it's not easy, but it's worth it. I'm sure I can ask Preacher Stewart if it's been easy while he's been serving God in his ministry. I'm sure he'd say no. But if I ask him if it's worth it, I'm almost positive he'd say yes. As we serve God, we're going to have trials and temptations we're going to have to go through. But God always is able to bless us from what we had before. In this scriptures, it talks about the rich young ruler. I want you to see, number one, this rich young ruler had the opportunity to be saved. As it says in verse number 22, when Jesus heard these things, he saith unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. This Jesus had told him he had the opportunity at salvation, and all he had to do was repent and sell all he had and listen to God. But he didn't, because he had something between him and God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9 says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Because God wants all to be saved, he asked this rich young ruler to be saved. The rich young ruler was looking for an opportunity at salvation. But He didn't take it because he had something between him and God. First of all, before you can be saved, you've got to repent. I'm sure everybody in here knows that if you're going to be saved, you've got to have the holy conviction of God on you, and you have to repent. Without repentance, there's no way of salvation. To repent is to change your mind into agreement with God with what you've done. The second thing you have to do is you got to die to self. John 3:30 says, He must increase and I must decrease. We have to get rid of self and fill up with God. Brother Chris Hazlett preached during Jubilee talking about emptying your cup of self and filling it up with the Holy Ghost. You've got to look and ask for that desire from Christ to die to self and just get filled up with Christ. There's no better place to be than in the center of God's will. And when you die to self and you get filled up with the Holy Ghost power, I can't explain how good that feels. I mean, I know it's not a feel-so salvation or a feel-so in the will of God, but when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you just can't help but hold it in, you've got to shout and thank God for how good He's been to you, because it's worth it. That's what I'm getting from this scripture. It's worth it to be saved, because if you reject salvation, all of us know that you're going to suffer an eternity in hell. The best decision I ever made was when I got saved. Amen. I didn't get saved because I wanted to be a preacher. This is just a privilege. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I'm glad that when I took that salvation, that conviction come on my heart and I accepted the salvation, I don't have to go to hell. That's something we all ought to stand up and shout over, because we ain't going to hell if you're saved. That gets me wound up thinking it every time. I ain't got to go to hell. You ain't got to go to hell. All you got to do is believe in Christ, repent, call on His name, confess your sins, and God will save you. You got to believe. Romans 10:9, if you want to turn with me there to Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. You got to confess and you got to believe. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's no way that if you believe in your heart and you're convicted of the Holy Ghost, when you pray this prayer, you're going to get rejected. Because God promised in His Word, and His Word cannot lie, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. I'm glad that when we're looking for Christ, we can find Him. I'm glad that He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He sent a mediator to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, so that man way down here could have an opportunity to get up to Christ up here. That mediator is Christ Jesus, that gave His life on the cross for our sin. As undeserving as we are, as unworthy as we are, He died out of love for us. I want you to see that this rich young ruler had something between him and God. If there's something between you and God tonight, I want to encourage you to get rid of it. Because if there's something between you and God, you're not going to live to your full potential with the Lord. The reason that this rich young ruler never accepted salvation was because he loved the things of the world more than Christ. And that is why we have to die to ourselves. This rich young ruler had money in his life. And money, as it says in the Bible, is the root of all evil. You can't serve God and mammon. And I'm glad that when we look in these scriptures, and it says, in verse 23 it says, "And when he heard these things, he was very sorrowful, for he was rich." Riches are not going to buy you heaven. There's no way on earth that you can get enough money to pay your way to heaven. I don't care who your mom or who your dad is, that's not going to get you to heaven. And even if you go to church and you tithe faithfully, that's still not going to get you to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm glad that through Christ we have a way of salvation. And I'm glad there's only one way of salvation. And that one way of salvation is Jesus Christ. If God didn't love us and send us that one way of salvation, I mean, He gave His only Son. Can you imagine giving one of your children for somebody to die for somebody you don't even know? I mean, of course God knows us all, but I don't think I could imagine giving one of my kids up so everybody could be saved. And that's a hard decision for me to make. I mean, I don't want nobody to go to hell. I'm sure I can ask anybody in here and they'd all agree with me that they don't want anybody to go to hell. But that hard decision that Christ made that day to give His Son for us on that cross, why us? That old song says, "Who am I?" Who are we to deserve such a treasure that God's given us to be able to be saved? We are unworthy. I can't express how unworthy I am to be preaching to y'all, and how unworthy I am to stand here saved by the grace of God. And I'm glad that I'm saved by the grace of God, because I don't have to go to hell. Gets me wound up every time I think about it. I ain't got to go to hell. I want you to know that God didn't just convict this, that this rich young ruler wasn't just looking for God to be saved because he was rich. You don't have to have money to get the conviction of salvation on you. You can be the poorest man on earth and have conviction on you. Don't matter who you are. Christ is not willing that any should perish, that all come to repentance. He wants all to be saved. And it says in 1 Timothy, it talks about how God sent himself as a ransom for all. For it's good in the sight of God that all should come to repentance, all to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And you have all these different religions talking about how they think that God set certain people in certain places to be saved. That's not true. There's plenty of information all over this earth and at the creation. Just looking at the creation, you can tell that God wants all to be saved. You can tell there's a God. And if God's going to give you that knowledge and that wisdom to see, then he wants you to be saved. I want you to see that this rich young ruler never says in this passage of scripture that he got saved. And as the Lord said, that it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. This rich young ruler never got saved, and he had to spend an eternity in hell. He never took the opportunity to be saved. There is a point that says in Song of Solomon that when the man was knocking on the door and the woman never came, that when she finally went, he was gone. There's a point when God quits knocking on the door of salvation. And if you don't go to it when he's calling you, that he will go. He will not call you again. I know that God's three deadlines is the sin unto death, which and blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, and the other one I can't think of right off the top of my head, but sinning away your day of grace, that's what it is. But if you refuse the call of salvation so many times, he's eventually going to take his conviction off of you. I've heard plenty of stories of how preachers have talked about girls or young people trying to get saved in conviction and just say, no, I'll do it later. There's eventually not going to be a later. The longer you fight it off, the less of a chance you have of being saved. I encourage you now that if you're under conviction of salvation, to take up the offer. There's nothing better than being saved. If you ain't got to go to hell, what else is better? I mean, not going to hell gets me stirred up. I'm not going to hell. That song we sing, I'm not going to hell, stirs me up every time. I'm saved by the grace of God, and you can be too. Just don't wait too late to answer the call of salvation. Because he will leave the door. He also never followed God. I mean, you can say that you're saved and try to follow God, but if you're not saved and you're not following God, what's the point? I mean, if you're trying to do what God says and work and try to live by works, what's the point in it? You can't live by works and go to heaven. You can't get works and go to heaven. The Bible says it is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is by the grace of God that we have a chance to go to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. Just like I said a while ago, you can't buy your way into heaven. It's by the grace of God. And by his mercy, we have the opportunity to be saved. And once we are saved, we have the obligation to follow God as a saved person. Like Aaron said, he got saved and he kind of walked away. But God still loved him. Once you get saved, you're always saved. You can't lose your salvation. Once you accept that salvation and once you are saved, you don't have to go to hell. I don't care if you get backslid and you're not in the will of God. As long as you're saved, you're not going to hell. I ain't going to hell. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be saved. Come here earlier this week and I'd get back here and I'd lay behind this pulpit and I'd pray. And I'd just empty myself and try to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And it seemed like I just keep coming back for more. I couldn't get enough. I want people to just see God through me. I want them to see how good it is to live for God. There's nothing better than having that peace knowing you're in the will of God and having that peace knowing that you're saved. And Miss Paula talks about having that joy that no matter what happens to her, she's going to have the joy of God in her heart. I can't explain to you how good it is to be saved, how good it is to walk around knowing if anything happens to me, if I get hit by a car, if a meteor strikes me and I die, I'm going to wake up in heaven. I ain't going to hell. Amen. And that assurance and that peace that I have in my heart, it's unexplainable. And salvation is the best thing this world, that's the only thing this world can offer you. I mean, this world can give you money, it can give you fame, it can give you anything you want just about, but it can't give you salvation, and it can't buy you salvation. You have to make the decision to seek after God, and God's got to come to you and say, we're not looking for God, God's looking for us. We can't find God. I mean, once He takes off that conviction of salvation from us, when we want to be saved after that, it's too late. God's not coming back. Once He says He's through, He's through. He loved you enough to convict you the first time. Why pass it up? He gave His only Son. There's no other way for salvation. Even if you refuse it too many times and He calls His conviction off of you, there's no other way of salvation. If God's not in it, nobody's in it. There's no way. When He died on the cross for our sins, He made that mediator and that bridge to God that we can cross as long as we accept the call of salvation. Brother Stroud was preaching last night, and he got up and during his introduction he was talking about not going to hell. I was doing everything I could from taking a lap around that place because I don't know, I can't get off the subject. I ain't going to hell. I'm overwhelmed at how unworthy I am that God sent His only Son in this world to die for my sin. But it wasn't just me He died for. It was you. He died for all of us. If you're sitting here and you're not saved and you feel that God's convicting you, take the opportunity to be saved and don't refuse it. Trust me, it's worth it. If I could ever explain it in words how worth it is to be saved, I'd tell you. Because, I mean, there's no better decision I've ever made in my life than the decision to be saved. How much more worth it is the fact that you ain't got to go to hell when you get saved? I mean, if that's all He ever done for us was save us so we didn't have to go to hell, that'd be enough. We don't deserve that. We deserve to be in hell right now, suffering for eternity. But God, preacher always talks about them holy conjunctions. But God, oh, I'm just glad that I ain't got to go to hell. Whew. That should have been my title. I ain't got to go to hell. I want you to see that in the Bible it talks about how it's not easy to live for God. I'm not here to discourage you from living for God. I'm here to encourage you. Because even though it's not easy, it's worth it. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We'll read verse number 12. If you want to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we'll read verse 1 first. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Verse number 12. "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution." It says it plainly in the Word of God, all will be persecuted. But in the next verse, or in the verse 14, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them." It's talking about Christ, continuing in things of the Lord. And if you're truly saved, your only thing you want to do is going to be continuing the things of God. There is an escape from perilous times. I wrote down a message that I was going to preach at SCAX, and the Lord changed my mind. It took me a while because I was seeking the Lord's will, and He just changed my heart on a couple things, and I wound up preaching something totally different. But when I wrote down that sermon outline of the believer's refuge in perilous times, it talked about continuing in the things you've learned from Christ. God has given us plenty of scripture in this Word of God that we are blessed to have. We don't have to have this. God blessed us with this Word of God, the King James Version, that we can learn how to be saved, that we can find that refuge in perilous time. That song, "God is my refuge," that's God is our refuge in perilous times. Christ Jesus is our refuge in perilous times. And I'm glad that even though when we're going through a trial, if we'll just look up to Him, He has a refuge for us. He is our refuge. But I want you to just think about Job. Hey, well, his life wasn't easy. I mean, he had everything right before the Lord allowed the devil to persecute him, and he went through all this stuff. He lost his family. He lost everything. And his wife finally told him to just curse God and die. But Job said, "No, I'll not turn my back on Him now." That old song says, when Job said no, God saw fit to bless him with twice what he had. See, if you were going through a trial, if you'll just trust God, you'll get twice what you had. It says it plainly in the Word of God that it's worth it, even though it's not easy, because He's going to bless you abundantly. I mean, it's worth it enough that you ain't got to go to hell, but I mean, again, you get to go to heaven on top of that. My goodness. You're gonna have to endure trials. That strengthens your faith in God, and when He sends a trial towards you, it's because He trusts that you're gonna stand strong for Him. Not every Christian does, and they just kind of crumble, but that's because their faith is not strong in God. But in these times, these perilous times that we're gonna be suffering in, if we just look back to the things of Christ, we have a refuge. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads, and we'll pray, and I'll turn the service over to Pastor Stewart. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your grace on us, God. Thank You for how good You've been to us, Lord. Thank You that we don't have to go to hell, and thank You for the opportunity of salvation. I thank You for the privilege that I had to stand and preach, God, and I thank You for how good You've been to us. I pray that You'd bless the remainder of the service, Lord. May Your will be done, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.